calling my phone. I told you before that it's over. Leave me alone. No turn you to see me gone. Dark clouds, you gon' see me strong. I won't go back. But trust me, you gon' hold that. Hold that.
What up, David? What up? We back for a black culture revival.
I ain't tryna play this game no more. I don't wanna be touching your name no more. I ain't tryna feel this pain no more. And I'm
saying, what up, y'all? You about to get started?
No more.
What's good, y'all? We in this business. We back on Black Culture The Breakdown. I am your boy, Jersey, but we here for a revival today, all right? Y'all know what that mean? That mean it's a revival. It's part two. All right, today we got a super dope guest. I'm not sure if y'all watch Floribama Shore, but today we got Miss Candace in the building that's going to be dropping a whole bunch of gems, and we're going to get the inside scoop on what be going down behind the scenes on reality TV, all right? They show is actually quite entertaining. Have y'all watched Floribama Shore? Do y'all watch Floribama Shore? Are we a supporter of Floribama Shore on here? Please comment below if you watch Floribama Shore. I need to know. But how we feeling, everybody? What's going on? Let's see who's in the building. I see Via Leah's in the building. What up, Via?
Yes.
Welcome to the live. I also see Miss Hollywood is in the building and Jossie is in the building. What up? How we feeling? David, I see you in the building. Anyways, but yeah, anybody watch Floribama Shore?
No.
Okay. let me see where Candace is at the moment, and then we about to get this going. On what page? Boom, boom, boom. Live now. Cool. Just let her know. What up, Via? So we about to definitely get this whole night started. And it's literally about to go down because we got a lot to unfold. Who's trying to get into reality TV? Any of y'all want to do a reality show? Any of y'all want to do a reality show? No? I'm actually wouldn't be opposed to doing a reality show, but it has to be done on my terms. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm nervous about how Cameron's going to be doing that. The Velvet, though, yo, I love Velvet. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to bring it back. I'm trying to bring it back. All right?
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to do. But how y'all feeling, though? Oh, Adam said, official Adam Rick says, I'm down for a reality show. Yo, a reality show will be all the way lit. Oh, I see Candace is in the building. What up, everybody? Candace is about to join the live. Let's get it cocking. Let me see. Jersey Shore Part 2. About to get Candace on the live.
Uh-oh.
Here she go. Hey, what's up, Brady Kim?
I know. Look, so my mama, I called my mama right before I came here. Because mama like, what you think of this wig? And she was like, no, take it off. You like Raggedy Ann. And I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, I'm going to wear it anyway. But, you know.
First of all.
So, apparently, I look like Raggedy Ann, but I like it. Like, I was going for, like, the whole little, like, you know, doll look.
No, first of all, you look beautiful, okay?
Hey, y'all.
Yes, they are in here going crazy. Comments, they love you. All right, Candace.
Hey, everybody. Anyway, so we finna take this shot or no?
Okay, listen, I'm actually drinking Henny right
now. Everybody at home that's watching the live, get your drinks. We all finna take a shot, okay? What you drink? You drink a water? What is that called?
No, I'm drinking that same thing you drink.
Oh, you drinking the same? Okay, cool. Oh, hold on, look. And I got the classic Coke. Oh,
I don't drink Coke.
Oh, okay, good.
All right. Okay. Mine is mixed down, though. I got mine mixed down with like some lime juice and a little bit of apple.
That's beautiful. You're a lot healthier than I am, but I got got fat because I've been drinking Hennessy and Coke when I was in the house.
You know what? Let's get into this. Candace, welcome to Black Culture the Breakdown.
Hey, hey, everybody.
Yes, we got Candace in the building. You are on your fourth season of Floribama Show.
I know.
Okay. Like, first of all, let's bring it back to the beginning. It's our first time on Black. So we got a Chris on her right. First of all, we had Kirk on here last.
I saw that and I did not know. I wish I could have. I did not see that until I came to your page. I did not see that. I would have came on here and been acting ignorant in the comments.
Definitely. You know, we had a good time. And this is actually his second. That was the second time on the show. He was there on season one as well. So we have you on here. Now we got both Black members of Floribama on Black Culture the Breakdown.
Okay? Yes.
So now you've been on four seasons, but bring us back to the beginning. How did you even get on this show? Bring us back.
Okay, so I first got on the show. My friend had sent me a text message that was like, are you from the South? And do you want a show about your life? And I was like, yeah, I'm from the South. I want a show about my life. So I filled out the application. Mm-hmm. And the application turned into a phone call interviews, turned into Skype interviews, basically. It took about a 3-month casting process, and then I flew down to Panama City Beach. We did not know if I got the show yet. And so, yeah, like I found out when I got down there that I got the show. And literally the same day that you find out, you move into the house the same day. So that first episode that y'all see from season one, that's the same day that we find out in the hotel room if we got it. So you like, they come to your room, they be like, nah, you ain't make it. They'll either put you on a plane back home the same day, or everybody that same day moved in. So it was like, wow, because it was like, we didn't know what Floribama Shore was. Yeah. They didn't even have a name for the show yet. Like, it was still a new concept because we had to do interviews with calling it Gulf Shores, too. So they didn't know what they were even going to call it at the time we started filming.
Okay.
So, yeah, very new concept. And thank y'all for all the positivity in the comments. Hold on. You know how like it goes out or whatever? Do I have to go set in?
I know how.
I'm an old lady.
First of all,
sorry. I don't even know how to use these iPhones.
Beautiful vibe right now. Throw her some hearts. That's how pretty she looking.
Aw, y'all so sweet. Everybody's so cute, y'all. Am I still mad at Cody? I ain't never mad at Cody. Cody my homeboy.
Okay. Ain't getting there yet. Wait, they skipping the fans. Y'all gonna have to fall in line. All right, hold on. We getting this started. She bringing it back to the beginning. So,
yes.
when you found out that you made it into the house, were you like, oh shit, I'm on a reality TV show now? Did it click?
You know, you never really know what comes with it. I knew I was on a TV show. I had no idea what it was going to be like. You know nothing about the show. I didn't know the concept of it. All you know is you from the South and you're going to be on a TV show. And that's it. That's all you know. So when I got into the house the first day, I walked in. I see Kirk. I see Nilsa. I see Cody with that popped up ass collar. Never will forget that. And yeah, like it was cool. Hey, Gio. I'm sorry. It's like so many of my people in here. So. Yeah, no, that was pretty much it. Like, you don't know anything. So, coming into the house, you really are blindsided. And I learned that, yeah, it was just, suppose the concept was about 8 kids from the South, all different backgrounds, that we are a representation of the new South, different people, different backgrounds, and we can party together and fight together.
Okay. Now, Kirk mentioned, too, in the past interview, that the same creators of Jersey Shore is the same creators for Floribama.
Yes, sir. Same production company.
So now, when you guys didn't have a name, but you guys were able to figure out how to get a name, how did y'all come up with Floribama Shore?
Oh, it wasn't us. That's all production. We are just the lovely people that make the show. We don't make all the important decisions.
Now, when you got on season one and realized that there was you and Kirk, let's get into a real question now. And y'all two are the only Black people in the house. How did that? Was that revolution for you? Okay, so this is.
Ooh, hold on. Yeah, let me open my window for this question because I'm gonna go in. Hold on. Let me raise up my tripod. I should have got this settled. I didn't know it was gonna change the frame when we went live. Okay, so, all right, everybody can see me. Hey, all right, so, I think that when me and Kirk being in the house, I think it was more so the area that we were filming in. We were filming in Panama City Beach. We were filming on the Panhandle. It's nicknamed the Redneck Riviera. Okay, so you can already, you know, get a gist of just kind of like how that experience is gonna be. And I just, it was hard for me the first two seasons. I just could not. It was really hard to film for the first two seasons.
In the comments.
Look, Nilsa can attest. Like, it was just really hard for me the first couple of seasons. I really felt uncomfortable just in that area in general. It was you know, it's always a little bit harder to party in an area, and then like I think that when you go inside the bars. Like, some of the bars that we're going in, I'm not going to say the names. Well, I will say Uglies, because we banned from Uglies anyway, so forget them. But you know what I'm saying? When it comes to Uglies, Coyote Uglies, going inside places like that and having to party and, you know, get drinks and, you know, seeing Confederate flags everywhere, seeing, pro-traditional Southern heritage photos everywhere, you know what that means, and me being Black and a woman, that in itself was just a lot to deal with. And then like I'm seeing them, and you know, it was hard. And I can honestly say one person that was very sensitive to it was was the girls in the house. With my girls that's still there now, Amy and Nilsa. Like, I remember I told Amy about it, and Amy was like, "Well, girl, we can go home if you want to." Because I remember I sat at the bar and I'm looking at all of these Confederate flags like on the wall, and it's just like it's hard to be in those type of environments and act like you don't see it.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like the producers of the show should have done a better job of vetting these places before putting you in an uncomfortable situation to be filmed?
What I will say with that is that the producers of the show wasn't aware. They was not aware that, you know, they didn't think about it. I can honestly say that's one thing that I think went over all of their heads is that, oh, we have Black people on this show, but the bars that we're partying at, like the symbolism that's inside of these bars and, you know, maybe how they're treated inside of the bars as far as trying to get a drink versus other people. Cause I mean, little things like that I had, you know, issues with. And so it's just there were certain things like that that was unfortunately beyond, production couldn't really do anything about it. They still had to make a show. And so, there were just a lot of moments that was uncomfortable, not because of the producers of the show, but because of just where we was filming it. And that was the story that they wanted to tell. They wanted to tell the story of eight kids that were partying in this area. And, you know, that Panhandle area, but that area has just traditionally and historically been known to not be friendly to all people. And so, and that's not everybody. It was just certain bars you go in, you would see certain things. Like La Viva was already very wonderful and kind to us. Shout out to No Name Bar was so amazing to all of us. Shore Dogs, they were great. It's only a few bars that was just like, I was like, I don't feel comfortable here. And so when we ended up transitioning over to St. Pete for season three, St. Pete was incredible. Like St. Pete, I can't tell you how much fun I had there. And I didn't even know where St. Pete was on the map, but you know, it was fun. And St. Pete was so progressive and they were so welcoming of us. And so I would say that I wouldn't even give it so much more as an area thing, but it was more so just this, it's just certain people in certain bars. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Well, you know, that's actually an interesting just philosophy behind it. But because you would think they would know, but I guess not. And I know things do happen in a weird way. Let me ask you this. I do remember vividly a scene where I think you guys were asked to leave the bar. Mm-hmm. And it was almost because of the situation why you guys leave the bar. Do you recall that?
Yeah. Are we talking about when Kirk threw them crackers?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I remember that night like it was yesterday.
What do you think?
Would you want to talk about that night, or what's the question?
What do you think really went down that night? You think you guys were really asked to leave because Kirk was Black? Or do you feel like if somebody white was throwing the crack, it would be getting treated the same?
The truth of the matter of that entire situation is people were picking on Nilsa. There was some guys that was being like over aggressive and really mean to Nilsa. And so being that we might fight each other all day long. I kid you not, if we get so much, you know, flack online for us fighting each other and hating each other, but it's one of those things, it's like, it's a family thing. We gonna fight each other in the house, but when we go out and if one person pick on another person, all you gotta do with all of us. So it's like, somebody was picking on Nilsa that was being mean to her. And I can't remember if he threw something at her. I can't remember specifically, but it was somebody that was like going for Nilsa at that bar. So, you know, Kirk retaliated or something, but he also threw something. So he threw something and Kirk threw the crackers back. And he did, nothing happened to him. Kirk was the one that got kicked out the bar.
Yeah.
And so Kirk got kicked out for retaliating when we wasn't even the ones that started it, nor did Kirk start it. And so that was the whole situation where I was like, I can't say that, oh, we were kicked out because he was black, but I can say that it was an unfair situation of like, if you're gonna kick out one person that's throwing something, you have to kick out both people that threw something. And he was the one that started it. And there was also multiple people around. So if they wanted to ask the folks that was around us, that was sitting around us, it was clear what happened. And so that's why I turned up the way I did. Just because I was like, this is an unfair situation. I can't say, like, saying that we were kicked out because we were black is a very harsh statement, but was there unfair treatment due to probably us being black? More likely.
100%.
Yes.
Okay. And it was, now I know some people were upset with Gus because they felt like Gus didn't really have your back or have his, you know what I'm saying? So do you feel like, let me ask you this is a real question. Do you feel like there is any racism in the house?
I can't say that there is. I feel that way anymore. I think that we all have had so many conversations. If you would have asked me this question a few years ago, I would have had a different answer for you. However, like, honestly, today after 2020, almost all of my roommates have had such a deeper understanding and have really become more aware of all that I have to go through being the black woman in the house, the only person that has to deal with not only the racism but sexism. And so I think that there's more of an understanding for what's going on in the world. And I think that there's been, like, we've all had those conversations that don't necessarily air. We have so many conversations that happen on camera. But you know, they can't make the whole show like this whole racial thing, so it's not edited in. But we've had so many moments where we, you know, we talk about it and to Jeremiah and to Gus and to Kodi, and we have those understanding moments. And so I can honestly say I don't think that there's any racism in the house right now. I've been so vocal about where I stand on certain things, and I think that my castmates right now understand that and they respect that. And so I can't say that is the case for my castmates. Absolutely not.
Well, I'm going to say this right now. Comments is going crazy. It's Courtney. I see a lot of Courtneys. Now, I saw that you had a rant a few days back, and you did. Yes, I saw that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know that you're no longer in the house, but you felt like was something that was colorblind that maybe made her feel like you guys didn't get along. Agree or disagree?
Me and Courtney?
Yes.
So here's the thing. If anybody that watched the show, Courtney and I were really, really good friends season one and part of season two. I think that Courtney, ignorance at the time, there's certain things that I can't really talk about because it happened in the house on the contract. If you ask me a couple of years from now, I can give you all the details. But for right now, like, I don't want to even put that out there because I recognize the power that I have in this time. I'm not going to put that out there right now, but I can say that I never at all thought Courtney was racist. The problem with Courtney was suffering from ignorance. She had lived in Panama City Beach for the majority of her life, and I don't think that she honestly had an understanding of how you communicate and certain things like that. I don't think that was something that she was ever made aware of. And so when I came into the house and when I'm talking to her and I'm just trying to bring understanding to her, because before I ever get mad, I will let you know, hey, this is why you don't say this, 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 and that. Like, it's funny because it's aggressive. I feel like sometimes that show tries to make me look, I'm not aggressive at all. I give people a fair chance to always correct themselves if they truly did not know. And so I just felt like, I just felt like I wasn't, I don't think that I was valued as a person and as a friend. And it's, I still struggle with sometimes feeling valued on the show. But, you know, it's just, it is what it is. But I'm not, would I ever actually call that girl racist? No. Would I say that she suffered from ignorance? 100%.
She's on the show now. How would you feel if she was back for season 5?
How would I feel if she was back for season 5?
Yeah.
I don't know how I don't think that I would want to be a part of it if she came back for season 5. I don't see myself wanting to take myself a step back. Do you get what I'm saying? I've grown so much from season 1 and season 2. I don't want to put myself in a situation where I know I may not react in the best way. I try to take the high road as much as possible. And so I just don't think that that would be a good environment for me if she were to come back. And I wish her well if she were to come back. You know, girl, make your money. But I think that that would be where I would take my exit.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. MTV, understand what she's talking about right now. All right. So, listen. Candace, we love that you just being 100% yourself and authentic. The comments are crazy for you. They saying you my favorite girl. All right. they mess with you
100%. Yes.
We mess with you here at Black Culture, because that's what it's about, pushing our peoples forward. Now, do you feel like the show makes you look like the angry Black woman? I'm gonna ask you that. I just want to be as honest as you could be with that.
I think I have my funny moments. I can say that in this last time that I filmed, I had so much more fun the second time around, and y'all are gonna see it when it airs later this year, the second half of season 4. And I was just so much more free, and like, I gave my all. And you know, I think that there have been moments where I've been fun and I've been enjoyable, and I've really tried to do my job, which is to be entertaining. And I have sometimes felt like those moments aren't shown. It's like more so arguments. And, you know, it's reality TV, so I get it. Their whole purpose is to tell this story, and, you know, conflict tends to sell. And so I think that, that's what happens. And so I do hope that the second time around, they will show more, you know, more of like who I am. Like, I really am just a goofball, but I feel like they show a lot more of the aggression. But I will not lie to you, that house would drive you crazy, especially in my shoes. It's hard. So, you know,
First of all, okay. My favorite clip, I ain't gonna hold you, but you was like, oh, y'all hoes. Alright? Oh. Okay, where's your drink?
Oh. I was mad. I've been working on my relationship with the Lord. You know, I'm a little more calm now.
Absolutely. And you were upset because they wanted to switch the rooms. It's something about the room situation, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Did you grow from that?
I'm trying to think. Okay, so for one, I was henny drunk, so you know, I was a little, you know, but I think a lot of it was there was a lot of built up stuff. See, the thing is that the entirety of these stories are not told. And so I think a lot of it was, you know, I felt like Amy, like me and Amy are so close outside of the house. And I know that, you know, her and Nilsa sail as best friends. But, you know, like, I felt like, you know, Amy was in a hard position where she had to pick who she was going to run with. But I felt like I was being left out. And that's where I can go back to where I don't really always feel super valued. But even though, you know, I try in moments, But also another crazy thing with reality TV that I have to mention is that reality TV is not the same way that it used to be. It's a lot more produced now. And so now it's kind of like they can almost pick who they want the star to be. You know what I'm saying? Like they can almost, they can feed it to certain people that works for the network. And so I never felt like I worked for the show. I never felt like I did. I don't know if the network likes me on the show, but I can say that there's a lot of other things that that's fueled my anger that doesn't necessarily have to do with my roommates. And so I've never felt like I was a good little, 10% is popping up. But yeah, I never felt like I was the best fit for it. And so because of that, I think that in my value and how I felt like my roommates liked or received me, I never felt like that. I think that the me feeling, not feeling like I belonged or feeling like I was valued in that brand for Floribama Shore, all of that trickles down into sometimes how I react, you know? Like when you have all of that built up, how you react will just, it'll take a toll on how you react in real life situations. And then, you know, they have that footage and they can tell that story the way they want to. And so I think that that was where a lot of that came from. So, you know,
So let me ask you, are you happy with your portrayal on this show over the four seasons, and now you're about to move into a potential season five? But are you happy with what you've put down on this earth as a reality star on Floribama Shore?
I'm happy with it because I'm happy that I've always been myself. You know, me being mad, you know, that was myself. I will never take back in the moments that I've grown, like the time that I did the swimsuit competition, I actually won. Like, that took a lot for me to do that. Like, never did a swimsuit competition before. So to do that and actually win, and you know, that it's I'm happy with it. Okay. Do I wish there could have been more from it? Yeah, but am I happy with it? 100%. I'm very happy with it. I have a wonderful business that me and my father run together. It's doing well. So many people that support me. So
tell us about the business.
You did it.
Tell us. I know you can do body butters and
I have an organic skincare company. We have I have 32 products. I have like a turmeric and manuka honey body butter. I have dermal polishes. I have my peppermint soap. I have rose water. I have my rose and hibiscus facial cream. I have everything.
So wait, and you have? Is you got anything for men?
Yes, I have a deep oud. I created it for men.
Oh,
it's a very masculine woody scent.
So we need to set. Oh, I need to order some stuff, and y'all need to be a part of Black. I need to be talking about y'all every episode. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
A wonderful thing about my castmates, I will always give this to them. They wear the shirts on the show. So it's really helped with growing my business. And so many people supported me last year because I had got arrested for protesting last year. So that ended up trending on Twitter, and so many people bought from my business. My business sold out in a matter of like a day and a half. So I really appreciated that. Like everything on my site sold out. So we make our products. So for us to run out of like ingredients, like crazy. So no, it was it's been amazing. Like I'm grateful for what's in front of me. I'm grateful for what's going to happen after. You know, I'm always preparing myself for the next chapter of my life. So, you know.
Definitely.
We're gonna see what God has in store.
Okay, amen, hallelujah. Now let me say this to you, like, is your family like so proud of you? Are you like though, like, are they like, yo, my daughter's on TV, my, that's my cousin, that's my, are they like super proud of you, a Memphis girl that made it?
Yeah, my family is so proud of me. My mama, oh my gosh, she be wanting to do TikToks because she just wanted like, you know, she be trying to like, you know, do I have things for sensitive skin? I sure do. Hit me up in my inbox. But yeah, like, you know, like my mama is excited about the show, even though she be calling it Florida. She be calling it Florida, Alabama Shore. That's not the name of the show, mama, but you know, that's what she's calling it. But yeah, no, my mama is so happy and so proud of me. My dad is very, very proud of me. Yeah, so if anybody wants to support a Black-owned business and you got sensitive skin, come on, come this way.
I see Kirk is on the live. What up, bro? I see you on here.
Kirk there. Kirk.
What up, Kirk? Kirk. So let's do a quick, I know your phone is on like probably like 6%, but we're going to do a quick game, and then we're going to talk about what you got coming up. Cool?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, now, is this called Most Likely to Floribama Shore Edition? All right.
I have a quick question. If you could give me like a minute, I'm going to move this lower and I can actually charge it. So we don't have to rush. Give me 2 seconds. I'm going to move this a little bit lower. So that way we don't have to rush because it is about to die.
Kirk, I see you, bro.
Okay. Give me some time. I'm going to charge. Charge up my baby. Okay. See if it reaches. If it doesn't, it's cool. I'm going to load it.
Looking tonight. Okay. Candice, you got that good skin. All right, I can tell you got that good juice.
Oh, yes, sir. You know, we don't play about skin around here. You know, my business is my skin is literally like my billboard. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Let's see if we can do this thing. All right. So ready? I got it plugged up. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to move to the floor. And yeah, okay.
There she go. And ready.
Yes.
All right. So we about to play Most Likely to Floribama Shore Edition. Right?
Okay, let's go.
So, okay. Who is most likely to succeed on the show? Who is most likely to just take it all the way like to the stratosphere?
That's a hard question because everybody is wanting different things out of it. Like Jeremiah wants to do he wants to do pro wrestling and own gyms and own a golf course. Nosa has her shop, Nosa Pro Want store, that's doing really, really good. Gus is working on his own thing. Amy is reselling, and her reselling business is doing really good. Can't tell y'all the numbers because I ain't trying to have y'all in her pockets, but she killing it. Yeah, she has things that she's working on too. I think everybody is going to succeed in their own lane. Cody's about to like buy a bar. Like everybody is like in their own lane. So I think that whatever anybody is passionate about, that's really going to be like what they're going to. Everybody's going in different directions with what they want to do.
Are you guys like really competitive? Like, what you doing that? Okay, I'm about to get to work.
No, believe it or not, no. Nobody is competitive at all. We support everybody's business. Like, everybody supports everybody's stuff. So it's just a matter of, you know, who willing to just put in the work. That's pretty much it.
Put in the work. That's dope because you don't really get a cast that everybody really fucks with everybody. So that's super dope. Just clap.
Yeah.
So, who is most likely to not succeed on Floribama? After the show is wrapped, who is going to go ghost? We never see them again. That's the end of them.
Who's going to go ghost and never see them again? I don't think any of us are. I really don't. I don't think you understand. Everybody has their own decision. I'm telling you. And then everybody has their own little fan base. You know, like, I got the black girls and stuff. And, you know, Gus got, like, the hot chicks. Nilsa has everybody. Like, it's just, like, everybody has, like, their own thing that they're doing. So I think everybody's going to do their own thing. So if you hear from them, it's just really going to depend on, like, if what you follow and what you like. If you like wrestling, hell, you might see Jeremiah be the next goddamn Stone Cold in the next 5 years. You never know.
Okay. All right. So now, how about this? Who is most likely to star in a movie?
Oh.
Like, it's going to be a blockbuster movie.
I feel like it could be me.
Right? It's like I feel like it's going to be you, too.
I feel like it. I haven't ruined my public image on the show.
So okay.
I feel like I got a chance to get, like, a great agent and just be at the goddamn Oscars or something.
Okay. Okay. Come on, yo. Come on. All right. Who is most likely to get married first?
Nilsa. She's getting married in November.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go, everybody.
Nilsa's getting married in November. So, yeah, she wins that one.
Okay. How about this? Who is most likely to reach 1 million followers first on
Nilsa?
Okay.
Nilsa's almost there.
How much Nilsa got?
I haven't checked recently, but I think she's at like 700 or 800, I think.
And if y'all ain't know, Nissa was on here earlier. Nissa, if you're just coming on now, you snooze, you lose.
And
yes, he's still on here. And then it say one last one. Oh, the last one. Who's most likely to be locked up?
Kirk. Actually, no, I'm gonna change that because Kirk is doing good right now. I'm gonna say either. Oh, that's hard. Cause I feel like Kirk, Cody, or Gus could be locked up. All three of them have the potential to get locked up.
Mm.
No, and Amy too. Honestly, half the cast. Amy could get locked up too. And then, you know, Nilsa, she said she going wild after she dropped her baby. And Nilsa already the only one of us that's been to jail. She been to jail on the show. Honestly, most of them have the potential to be in jail after this.
So now let me ask you this. You mentioned that you didn't ruin your public image on the show. Are you very concerned about your image on the show?
I'm on here and I look like a doll in this wig. No. I'm literally sitting on the floor drinking Hennessy on this live. Somebody can record this and put it on. No, absolutely not. No.
So you feel like you just have good morals and a little bit of just, I'm black and I'm not doing that.
Yeah, honestly, like my mama told me, I can't behave the way certain girls do. There's, mm-hmm. as a black woman, there's just things that I can't get away with publicly. And that's just how I was raised. Like, I was always raised that I can't do what they do. If I do something, it's going to be held against me for a very long time. I can't behave the way that, you know, the rich white girls behave. I just can't behave that way. I can't get away with it. And so that's just what it is. Like, and it's not even a calculated thing. It's just how I was raised. I just had to I recognized and I was taught at an early age that how I behave will be judged 10 times harsher. So I always have to come 10 times harder with my presentation and everything to be half of what certain people are in this country.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you were locked up protesting. You know, I caught that as well. So,
I got arrested protesting.
Arrested. How did you feel about all the injustice that happened between 2020 to 2021? And as a black woman in America, do you feel protected?
I will say that everything that happened in 2020, I was so happy. I hate that lives had to be lost. George Floyd's life, literally, I wish he could still be here to see what has happened. But that in itself has changed this entire world and how they look at our experiences as black people in this nation. And 2020 was a very tough year, but I think that 2020 and all that happened humbled a lot of people. I think we needed that as a nation and as human beings. And I think that everything that happened as far as the police brutality and the understanding of what actually defunding the police means and actually understanding the experiences that we go through and the biases that we have to deal with and that we've been dealing with. There's so many souls of people that have died at the hands of the police that had to fly high that I think is smiling on 2020 and all that have come from it. And so we're gaining understanding. We having conversations that we've been scared to have, that our mamas and daddies were scared to have. We could publicly have those conversations and let people know that, like, hey, this is what we're going through. Let's work together to have this understanding to end this. Let's work together to put a rest to these biases and recognize that we all bleed the same blood.
Absolutely. Now, how do you feel now that MTV?
Hey, Devin. That's my friend, Devin.
Hey, Devin. How do you feel that MTV has supported you in this and Kirk during this season, then season 4 of Floribama Shore, to just kind of make sure that they are with you guys through what's going on in the country racially?
I'm very happy that there were conversations that were finally edited into the show, which I think a lot of reality shows did that, because 2020 was literally a historic, like, that's going to go down in history for a very long time. So I think that MTV finally making room for those conversations, and allowing them to be exposed to the world. And then also just, I mean, they've taken a page and they've listened to a lot of the things that I've had to say. And so there's been, oh my God, I wish I had their full names, Melissa and Charles. They are working. God, I really wish I could pull the information up because they're very important people. They don't actually work with Viacom, but they work with Viacom to basically have sensitivity conversations. And those were very, very important. Everybody had to do it on set, the cast, producers, and basically the sensitivity conversations was just training us to look at each other as human beings. And it was basically presenting scenarios to non-Black people that work in production and that work behind the scenes. So that way they can see things from the perspective of others. And so reminding us to always be sensitive. They even had a conversation with me and how I had to be sensitive in really assessing things before I label somebody. Well, not label, because I don't think I label people racist, but I think before I bring out the racist word,
they was trying to make sure they put a censor on you before you decide.
Not necessarily a censor. It's making sure that we understand that right now in today's time, if I call somebody racist, I have the power for them to not make money anymore. So I need to make sure that where they're coming from is truly out of racism in their heart and not just out of ignorance because they don't understand. You have to understand we're in an area where folks really truly do not understand. They ain't never been around it before. And so that's why I say you gotta educate somebody and give them the opportunity to correct themselves before you label them a racist. Because some folks really don't know. Now, if you correct them and they still wanna be on their ignorance, that's ignorance, that's bigotry, and that is racism.
That is.
But also, being an ally, and just if you really truly care to end it, you will stand up and you will say, you will stand up for all of your friends, your Asian friends, your Black friends, your Latin friends, everybody that is that's kind of that's on the other end of the system that doesn't benefit. You as an ally would stand up and you would say something in those moments where we don't always feel comfortable. And so I think that I think the MTV is really doing the work to make sure, especially on our show, and I will say this publicly, I as a Black woman is on one of the hardest shows on TV right now. I'm on a show that promotes white trash culture and I have to live in it and deal with it and make jokes about it. You know what I'm saying? When I know that the originality of white trash culture is was not for me. As a person that's from the South that knows Black Southern culture, but I have to be on a show like Floribama, that's difficult for me. I'm not on no Love and Hip Hop. I'm not on any of those shows. I'm on a show that directly promotes a culture that is against me.
So you feel like you were placed as a token?
Do I feel like I was placed as a token? Yeah, I feel that all the time. Yeah.
Because the way that the show is just narrated and portrayed, it is for white culture. You don't understand, it's not really anything that, but you and Kirk do bring a certain element to the show that makes it feel like Black people can watch, because I do watch ever so often and I low-key just want to see what you and Kirk are doing. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's interesting to see, are they willing to open it up so that they can maybe start to bring in a little bit more of Black culture to the show?
I think that's something that is so much higher above me, because, you know, it depends on who watches the show. I can just tell from the people that follow me, Black people are not watching our show. And so I think that they're going with the majority of who watches our show.
Okay.
And so they're trying to cater to the people that watch our show. And I think that that's really what it is. I think they're just like, oh, well, this works. Let's not mess it up. Let's not add all of these Black Southern elements to it, because we all know the South is mainly Black culture. You know what I'm saying? I know that. But, you know, like, I don't think they want to add all of those elements into it, because at the end of the day, it's about promoting a new and more progressive South, which includes all people. So they want to have a well-rounded thing of it. But I think that, you know, it's just kind of like where that's a higher up issue of looking at the numbers of who's really the demographic of who's really watching our show. And unfortunately, like, it's just not Black people watching our show. So I think that that would be like kind of a risk for them to add more of these elements from Black culture into a show that Black people don't watch. You know what I'm saying?
Or if they added, you know, Courtney's not there, they added another Black girl to the show, that would make everything different. Because
it could. And I'm pretty sure that that's something that they might be in conversation about. It's all up in the air. We're kind of like, as cast, we're in the dark, so I will never really know. If they were gonna add another Black chick, I would be the last to know. So,
so funny. So I'll be the last to know.
But I would be the last. I would know when she walked in.
That's so crazy. Your reality TV is really bugged out, and you would probably be like, "What?" So now, Floribama Show has been on for 4 seasons, and you've actually seen so many people actually come to blows. You've seen Jeremiah and Gus actually fight in front of your eyes, right? Like, over, y'all was pouring stuff in people's cups, right?
Yeah, that was over the drunk games. We don't do well with drunk games, but yeah. I mean, that was something that was building up and that was gonna happen. I think Jeremiah and Gus had such deeper things going on at that time. They have a relationship that is, both of them feel betrayed. And so that's something that they both have to work through, and I hope that they do. You know, life is too short. We already saw in 2020, life is way too short. So I hope that they work through it, but for them, it's a much deeper thing. So I honestly feel like that was something that was meant to happen. It was going to happen.
So do you feel like if you get rid of somebody on the show, who would you pick?
If I had to get rid of somebody on the show, shit, it'd probably be me.
He's so silly.
Donnie, I'm just being honest. I feel like, yeah. Yeah, I'd probably take my exit.
I understand. This is why we love you, Candace. Well-rounded, very educated Black woman. We love it. All right, so now, real quick, what do you have coming up? Tell the people what you got working on.
Yes, so we just finished working. That's when I'm going to say working. We've been working for the last couple of months. So I've been locked away. So I'm just now getting back to LA and I am exhausted. So I'm chilling, working on the business. I'm adding 9 new products to my product line. So I've been doing a lot of formulating since I've been home. So yeah, there's that. I'm working on stuff with my non-for-profit. So
you have a non-for-profit?
Shout out to my friend. She's tagging you, Gannix.
You have a nonprofit?
Yes, I do. It's the Rice Foundation. So we do Operation Christmas Give Back every single year. We take kids on shopping sprees. And last year we did 75 kids, which is insane. And so this year, I think the goal will be to do like 100 or 150. But the ultimate goal that I want to break is to raise enough money to break the Guinness Book of World Records and give an insane amount of children shopping sprees, kids that need it, that come from the city that I live, that I'm from, Memphis, in those surrounding areas. So, the back to school event. Yeah, I have like a back to school event that I'm going to be doing. So, yeah, I do a lot. So, yeah.
I don't go against anything. There's so many connections here. So I actually have a Guinness World Record. I'm a Guinness World Record.
I saw that. I was actually going to message you about that, but I was yeah.
And I have a 501c3 as well.
Nice.
I cater to kids. So it's actually quite interesting to see that we're like, just the way that it just, the paths cross. I don't deny energy, so that's super dope. We're going to definitely talk offline. But the fact that you're trying to break a Guinness World Record, help as many kids get the most shopping sprees, is dope, and it just shows your heart, you know what I'm saying? So I commend you for that. All right.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. So we're so what basically, like with all of that, there is an app that I'm working on by that's a part of the Rice Foundation called Urban Therapy. URBN Therapy. So pretty much what it's gonna do is it's gonna provide free therapy services to people in poor communities. So the app is going to provide all of the resources, ways to get free funding through the government, through your local, your state government, and also providing Black therapists, because I'm going to be catering to Black kids. Like, my purpose is to reach those communities, those underprivileged communities in certain zip codes where it is still taboo for to talk about therapy. But at the end of the day, but trying to heal the hood, the main way to do that is not just giving us money. People need, being in survival mode for so long messes you up mentally. And so we need therapy within our communities, but we also need to learn how to embrace therapy as a culture. And our culture still, and we still look iffy about therapy. It's still a lot of folks that's like, you know, Black women have been embracing therapy, but they're still, you know, young folks and stuff like that. They feel like they're too hard for therapy. No, if you think you're too hard for therapy, you need therapy. So yeah, the purpose is to provide all of those services to those that don't have access to it for free, give them the resources, and get them to as many people as possible. And my ultimate goal is I want to get to Drake, and I want to get Drake to make a rap song about mental health. And
let's make that happen. Drake, if you find this interview anywhere, you better make this rap song about mental health, all right?
Yes!
Because I think that that's the thing. Like, if people can listen to it in the rap music, if y'all willing to listen to NLE Chopper, which I love me some NLE Chopper, I'll be bumping him. But if we can get folks like him, folks like Future, Drake, everybody, Pooh Shiesty, everybody, we can get them all to collectively just make a song about mental health and put that out there, the impact that that would have, folks gonna be like, oh dang, maybe I really do need to get my brain looked at and get talk about my emotions and heal myself from the inside out. And I think that that's what our community needs.
So, you know, you're a public figure, you're a Black public figure, and there's so many American public figures that have the power to change the way that our community views, like, public, you know, mental health, how we view financial literacy, so many things. Why is it that you feel like our culture don't promote the positivity of our culture forefront? You know, like, just like you said, you want Drake to make a song, because there should be songs about mental health and financial literacy, but there's not a lot. Why is that?
I think that the reason that that is because, you know, we still need to get more educated about money. And I think that when we, you know, when you come out of the hood and you come out of certain places, it seems like money, the only way to get money is if you are in entertainment. And so when you have to produce to entertain, you in some ways got to sell out just a little bit. You got to rap about what you got to talk about. I mean, even Lauryn Hill said it herself. Lauryn Hill, very talented, said she had to throw a couple bitches and hoes and songs just to get people to like it. Said that in an interview. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to sell ignorance. And so my purpose is, well, what if I put the healing message inside the poison? You get what I'm saying? What if I get these same hip-hop artists, Lil Boosie, all these folks that everybody like, and them to make a rap song about mental health, and you put the healing inside of the poison, and then you start getting people to realize, dang, maybe I should go get some therapy services. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I believe. I think that's truly how you get to younger Black youth nowadays. You just gotta put it in the poison and just force them to listen to it. And so that's why I want to get to the bigger hip hop artists, and you know, just get him to talk about, just do one song about mental health. Because I mean, honestly, all of these bigger artists, they go on to therapists too. You know, it's a lot to deal with all that they gotta go through. Promote it, and it's free. There's so many resources to get therapy paid for. It really is. People just don't know.
People just don't know. And that's I think it what is the separation for our culture. We are not aware. We're not what's really out there for us. And they do it like that because they don't want it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
but, you know, if you force them to listen to it, and maybe they'll start asking certain questions. You just have to, you know, you just got to put it in front of people. And if you can't help those that don't want to be helped, but it's just some folks that really, they just need the direction. They need to know where to go. And if I can just help steer people on where to go and just make that impact to where that is a conversation that's being had in the hood about mental health. When you can do that, and then you start getting folks healing, and you know, you can start cutting down on crime. Like, that just being in survival mode is hard on you mentally. That's hard on you. And people don't talk about that. Folks talk about, people be proud to be from the hood, but don't nobody talk about the just being in survival mode and what that does to you mentally and emotionally. And yeah. So, you know, you got to heal from that.
Definitely. That's 100% facts.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now we on 1 hour on this show. Candace, we're about to wrap it up soon, but we're going to see, I see there's a few questions in the back, and I know you said that they could ask some questions. How you feel about
that? Yeah, whatever y'all want to ask me, let go.
All right, y'all. Go ahead. We're going to ask. I'm taking questions from the back. Don't ask them in the comments. Ask them on the phone. It's vetted. All right. Let's see what's going on. What do you think about the whole Gus thing going on? What?
They're gonna have to be more specific. What's Gus thing?
Yeah.
They gotta tell me what they're talking about. Cause I mean, Gus has stayed out of the drama.
Cody a real couple. Oh, that's a cool one.
Are me and Cody a real couple?
Could I?
Because I don't want to ruin things for y'all, I can't answer that one. But just know me and Cody are close, and that's all I'm saying. We're close. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. She's gonna leave it at that. She leave it at that. Let's see what this is. I love you. Thank you so much. Mental health needs to love more.
Yes, I love that.
Yes, that's 100%. Thank you for that. Let's see what this is. Oh, I already went through this. Lord have mercy. All right. What's this? Okay. What's this? MO2 here. Okay. Y'all don't got no real questions back here. I need y'all to ask some real questions. Okay. Break down if you're just now tapping in. But we have Miss Andy here from Floribama Shore.
Oh, thank you. Will there be another season of Floribama? Am I allowed to say? I mean, I feel like people already knew we was filming, so obviously y'all know. If y'all watching us, everybody disappeared from social media at the same time. Is there going to be a season 5? I have no idea. I really don't. So, that one I truly don't know. We don't really find that out until season 4 hits, the entirety of season 4 is aired, and they look at all of those ratings. So,
definitely. Well, you know, we're excited to see what y'all cop. And the fact that y'all been on for 4 seasons, that don't usually happen too much. These shows been canceled left, right, and y'all really still out here. And you out here still working. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In a pandemic at that.
Somebody's asking something. Do you think a new person will eventually join the show? Me tall chick. Metal chick. Oh, y'all country. My bad. Metal chick. Okay. Hold on, do you think that another person will eventually join? That's a good question. We have talked about it. Me and Amy has talked about it just because with being pregnant, it was different having to film and like not have another girl. And then, you know, Nilsa's limited in what she can do because Nilsa, when she was pregnant, like Nilsa looked 9 months pregnant at like 6 months. So, you know, there wasn't much that Nilsa could do. And so, that was a little harder. And so those conversations has been had if there's gonna be another girl added. We really don't know yet. But with that, would I be cool with it? I think so. I mean, if there's another girl added, bring them on. Like the motor area, I just got another bitch to take shots with.
So now how long do you feel like you got left in you to give to this show?
You know, I don't know. I think it just really depends on the direction. I really feel like it depends on the opportunities that are coming to me. I am preparing myself to do bigger projects. So y'all keep me in your prayers because I do want to do things outside of Floribama and do more scripted work. And so a lot of that is going to depend on the opportunities that come to me. As I prepare myself, I'm preparing myself. So, you know, I'm going to be reshooting my hosting reel because I really want to go into television hosting. That's where I was actually.
Oh my. Yes, I see you doing that 100%. And I see you being an actress, you're a comedian. You do a lot of, you're obvious. Like you were really good for this. And so we definitely doing a whole lot more than for a Bama show. Excited to kind of see your journey. Actually, dope.
Yeah. So, yeah. I know. So Devin said, go on the challenge. Y'all, look, y'all know I'm scared of everything. The challenge would not have me on that thing. No. They invited me out, I would go, but I'm telling y'all, I would get eliminated immediately. I would just go on there and be goofy and drink, and I would just mess up the first challenge.
Definitely. Would you want your own reality show?
I would actually really want one for me and my family. Like, my family mad funny. So, like, me, my parents, like, Bethany, like, all of us, all of my collective group of people that live in Memphis, that is that's a reality show for real. Like, if y'all knew how we acted in real life, that's a whole episode, just one night of us taking shots at Hennessy. So, yeah, if that was to ever present itself, I would actually do that with my family, because my parents are so supportive of me being on the show. Like, my parents, of course, ain't paid to be on the show when they come and feature, because they do come again. And so I just think that, like, my parents are so supportive. They do it because they love me. Would they want a reality show? Heck yeah. Like, my daddy would love that. He's trying to act like he don't like TV, but he'll like it.
He'll like it. Okay. Oh, you know what? You've been a reality star for 4 years now, right? Because who was, like, the dopest celebrity you met? And you were like, oh, my God, is what you call it. Like, who's, like, the most, like, geeked out person you've met?
I'm trying to think. Who's the dopest celebrity that I've met? Okay, so when I went to the when I went to the MTV Music Awards, so keep in mind, right, I have no idea why we was this close. Like, okay, look, I know our show is good, but, like, I didn't even feel like we deserved to be this close. When we was at the MTV Music Awards, there was a table for Black Panther, and then there was a table with, like, Zendaya, and then there was, like, another table with these kids for, like, 13 Reasons Why. We was in the same row as them. Like, there was Black Panther, 13 Reasons Why, Floribama. I'm like, they sat us here. So I was like, did they not know we were? Like, right, we're Floribama. We ain't Black, we Floribama. Like, y'all got us at this table next to Black Panther. So I met Chadwick Boseman, nicest man ever. I met Zendaya, so sweet, such a sweetheart. Let's see, who else? I mean, everybody I met was just super nice. Okay, 10% go off. Okay. Yeah. So no, it was I think Chadwick Boseman, meeting him was incredible. To have met him was amazing, and meeting Zendaya and her being so sweet, incredible. So yeah.
Well, that's super dope. I hope that you are able to get to that statue too, because I know we're gonna see you on TV, all right? Because you are charisma as hell.
God willing, it will happen.
Yes.
So yeah, it's gonna happen. It's definitely gonna happen. Floribama is just the start. There's no way that I could be blessed with this platform and even stop here. Like, absolutely not. So this is just the start. So anybody that follow me now, don't stop following me, because y'all gonna see me stuff elsewhere. Give me a couple of years. It's gonna take some time. Okay, I gotta give me a nice agent and stuff, but it's gonna happen.
Well, you guys, y'all come in to see what Candace is all about. And, oh, by the way, Candace, it's my birthday.
Your birthday today?
Not today, it was a couple days ago. But,
oh, my God. So we're going to take this shot, right?
Oh, we're going to take another shot. Definitely.
For the birthday.
Ready?
Hey.
Hey. And I'm the big three.
How old are
you? I'm 30, huh?
No, you're not. I thought she was like 26.
Well, you know what, I'll take that.
Okay, wow, you're 30.
You know, black don't crack out here, for real. That's a real state.
28, turned 29 this year. What's up?
What? Look at 22.
Yes, I turned 29 this year.
First of all, I need to direct a movie with you and Scott Jackson. I have to do it.
I get it every single day. Everybody tell me I look like Scott Jackson, Big Sister. And I'm like,
yeah, I need to do a movie, Freaky Friday or something.
Well, when she have her biopic, because she's very big, they gonna call. Actually, no, because I'm gonna be big too. They can make a biopic.
Right, amen. Yes.
Biopic on me too. So, yeah. I'm not gonna little myself like that, but I do love me some Sky. I'll be liking all her photos. I'll be like, oh, they say you my little sister. But then I'll be feeling some type of way because they'd be like, oh my God, you like Sky Jackson. I'm like, Sky Jackson's like 19, I'm 28, but okay. Yeah,
looks like you.
But no, so pretty. I love, and her mom is gorgeous too. Good God.
Definitely. Definitely. She's beautiful. And she's actually really talented. You know what I'm saying? Oh.
So talented.
I'm like, I can see y'all doing a movie or something like that together. So, putting y'all Black Queens out here. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. Everybody was great. Like, your audience is so hype. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Of course, of course. You're not going to be a stranger. We're going to definitely have you come back on when you guys decide to release season 5. Would love to have you come back to us, or anytime you got something new you working on, feel free to come on and talk about it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and then I'm gonna let you know about the Amanda body butter and stuff like that. I have the deep food. I'm gonna send you a link to it, and yeah, we'll link up in DMs and yeah. I'll message.
Definitely, we'll do all that. Thank you so much for coming on. It was a
pleasure. Of course. Thank you for having me. Thank everybody. Y'all have been great. Everybody is so positive and nice. I love y'all. Everybody stay blessed and have a good one.
Yes, Candace, everybody.
All right. Everybody have a good one. Bye.
Bye. So, y'all, that was Candace from Floribama Shore. Y'all know who it is already. She's super dope. Make sure y'all follow her. Make sure y'all follow me. It's free.
Yes.
So, I do this show, Black Culture The Breakdown, every Sunday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on my Instagram Live. And I bring on the dopest celebrities in Black culture, the people that are moving and making the ground shake, the people that want to put our culture on top. That's what it's all about. I like to make sure that we're tapping into excellence at all costs, just like Candace. Make sure you follow me. I am your boy, Jersey, and I'm out. Later.